The topic we're going to discuss today and probably next week, maybe 2 weeks, is a Bechiras Yisrael. And as we'll see, it's a very fundamental topic and one which I think is important to think about, especially because the nature of Bechiras Yisrael is something that is challenged today. It's important for us to think about what does that mean? Ata Bechartanu Mikol Ha'amim. What does that mean about Hashem's relationship with non-Jews? How should we think about non-Jews? How does Hashem think about non-Jews? And that's something that we're going to work on again for at least a couple of weeks. I thought of starting it today because of an interesting Inyan HaDiyoma. So we'll start with the Inyan HaDiyoma, and then we'll work from there to maybe a more general Mahalich. We're going to present a Mahalich today, I think, that will help us with the questions that we've asked. So this week's Haftarah on Parshas Achrei Mos is from Amos. And a very interesting thing is that, sorry about that, I didn't realize this was on. An interesting thing you'll notice about the Haftarah for Achrei Mos is that you always read this Haftarah. So this week, it's obvious, it's just Achrei Mos. Of course, we're going to read it. But let's say it's Achrei Mos Kedoshim. You still read the Haftarah for Achrei Mos. In other words, even though normally we read the Haftarah from the second of the double Parshios, this is an exception. We always do Achrei Mos. Not only that, but even if for some reason you missed this Haftarah for, this week's Machar Chodesh, Shkayach. So then I think, what do? We do it next week, right? Is that correct? Somebody has to look in the luau.
No, we do regular Kedoshim Haftarah next week.
We do Kedoshim and what?
We do the regular Kedoshim HaTorah next week.
This year, we're going to miss it.
I believe so.
Oh, my goodness. So it's really good we're learning it today. So take a look. The Ramah writes, very fascinating. The Ramah is in Tuf Chaf Ches, Sif Dalet, and the Mishnah Berurah talks about it over there. And I think the general practice is if it's Achrei Mos Kedoshim, we do it the Achrei Mos HaTorah. If we miss the Achrei Mos HaTorah because it's one of the special Parshios before Pesach, we do it on Kedoshim. As we make it up. So that's why I would have thought that next week we do the Achrei Mos HaTorah. But if someone
next has... week for Ashkenazim is Amos, the ending of Amos.
Yeah, so that's Spartan. What I'm saying. Yeah, good. We're Ashkenazi here.
And for Spartan, exactly,
that's exactly my point. In other words, this is the minhag of the Ramah. We whatever we do, we don't want to miss this Haftarah, right? So we make sure to get it in. So that's why this week, since we can't do it, what are we going to do? We do it for Kedoshim, right? Which is a strange thing. I don't know. I can't think of any other Haftarah that we make sure to get it in. So whatever the Parsha is, we do it when we're supposed to. And if not, we put it somewhere else. The question I want to ask you is, why is this week's Haftarah, which is what we're about to learn now, so important that we make sure to always get it in? That's the Shaila. So Rabbi Taubes told me that he heard from the Rav the following explanation, that the Haftarah for Achrei Mos is a response to a fundamental question that you'll have on Parshas Achrei Mos. And like I said, it's so important that we have to answer the question. And therefore, we always make sure to get the Haftarah in, either the week it belongs or some other week. So what's the kasha that needs to be answered? So at the end of Parshas Achrei Mos, we read all about the Arayos, and we read all about the tremendous immorality of the people who lived in Canaan. And the Pasuk says they were expelled due to their behavior. And the Pasuk then says, "V'lo saki ha'aretz eschem b'tamachem osa, ka'asher ka'a es hagoy asher lefnechem." The land will not spit you out like it spat out the nations that were there before you. Meaning to say that if you act properly, then good. And if not, then the land will spit you out just like it spat out the Kananim. And a person hearing this might basically come to think that we are replaceable in a sense, just like the Kananim were. In other words, if we behave good, if we behave well, then fine, Hashem will care for us. And if not, so we'll suffer the same fate as they did. And someone could misunderstand these psukim as implying a type of equality. And therefore, we read from the end of Amos, which addresses this question. And that's why this haftarah is so important, that we make sure not to miss it. We make sure not to miss it, because otherwise you could misunderstand this pasuk from Parshas Kedoshim. That was the Rav's theory as to why we Ashkenazim have this practice of always making sure to do Amos. And what I want to start off with you today is actually looking at Sefer Amos, because I think it's not just the end of the Haftorah, the end of Amos, it's a pretty short Sefer, that addresses this particular challenge, but actually all of Sefer Amos. So we're going to learn it together. I should point out, I first came to appreciate this idea that Sefer Amos is really a fundamental question, and Sefer Amos is the question of Bechiras Yisrael from Rabbi Karmi. I was a zelcha to take Rabbi Karmi for Treyasar back when I was in college. I assume he still teaches it, so maybe some of you also learned it with him. And he pointed this out, that really the central theme of Amos is Bechiras Yisrael, even though it's not explicit anywhere. But that's really what's going on behind the scenes. So we'll take a look. If you guys have an Amos available, pull it out. I have my Amos here. You could look online because we'll be looking at a number of psukim. So I recommend that you take a look inside. I can't say I remember everything that Rabbi Karmi taught in that class. And I imagine some of the things I'm going to say might be from him and others are not. But certainly the idea of looking at Amos this way, I learned from him. Thank you for the Mar Makom. Good. So the beginning of Amos, Amos begins with Hashem's charge against many of the nations of the world. So if we take a look at Pasuk Gimel, we have Komar Hashem, Al Shlosha Pishe Damesek, Bel Arba Lo Ashivenu. Damesek, I could forgive them three times, but not for a fourth. And it tells us exactly what they did. And then the pasuk continues about this with other nations. So we have the Shlosha Pishe of the Plishtim, and pasuk Yud Aleph is pasuk Tes is Tzor, pasuk Yud Aleph is Edom. We have the same pattern. Right, again and again for the various nations. Shlosha Pishe Edom, Val Arba Lo Ashivenu. Shlosha Pishe Amon, and Pasuk Yud Gimel, Val Arba Lo Ashivenu. And it tells us what they were. And then we turn to the Jews. And we seem to have, and this is maybe a bit shocking, the same pattern. Again, beginning of Perek Beis, we have Shlosha Pishe Moav. And then Pasuk Dalet in Perek Beis, Kalamar Hashem, Al Sosha Pisha Yehuda, Val Arba Lo Ashivenu, Al Masam Estars Hashem, Vechukav, Lo Shamaru, Vayi Vias Om Kizvehem, Asher Halchulav Osam Acharehem, Vishilachti Eshbi Yehuda, Vachla Arminos Yushalayim. Again, basically, the same type of pattern as we have with all the other nations. Shlosha, three sins I could forgive, and then Al Arba Lo Ashivenu. Likewise, in Pasuk Vav, we have Komar Hashem, Al Shlosha Pisha Yisrael, Val Arba'a, Lo Ashivenu, Al Nechram Bakasav Tzadik, Ve'avion Bavur Na'alayim, Hashofim Al Afar Eretz, etc. So we continue this pattern. Now here we guess we have a little bit of an elaboration, interestingly enough, if we turn, if we read on, and we have actually a very surprising thing. Take a look at Pasuk Tes, and really Yud. Pasuk Tes talks about their destruction for these sins. Vanochi, Pasuk Yud, Vanochi, he'aleisi eschem eretz mitzrayim, olech eschem bamidbar, arba'im shana, lareshes es eretz ha'amori. Vakim ibnechem l'neviim, umibachurichem l'nezirim, ha'af ein zos b'nei Yisrael ne'um Hashem. Vatashkuasan Hazimim Yayin, Vasanavim Tzivisem, Lemor Lo Sinav U, Hinanochi, Meik Tach Techem, Kasher Taik Agalaham Lea La Amir, etc. So then, so we're saying what? That look, Hashem says, I took you out of Egypt, I destroyed the Amori before you, I led you in the desert, I took care of you. And look what you've done. Now, if we take a look at the Radak, he actually points out the connection to the Psukim in our Parsha, in Parsha's Achrimos, that we noted. In other words, that the Pasuk tells us that just as I exiled them from the land, I vomited them out of the land, so too I will vomit you out of the land. So Hashem is saying, look, you didn't follow in the ways of the Amori, and therefore you're going to suffer the same fate as the Amori. You should have learned from them. Okay. So very interesting. Again, perhaps in these prakim, we don't see what's so special about Bnei Yisrael in two ways. Number one is Ashlosha Pishay, this nation Vabalo Shivenu, Ashlosha Pishay, this nation Vabalo Shivenu. And moreover, there's an allusion here to the idea that just like I threw out the Amorim for their behavior, so too I'll throw you out for your behavior. So I would say that we're minimizing the significance of chosenness. Now, Paragimel continues with this theme of chosenness, though with a twist. In a sense, thus far we've seen Bnei Yisrael being compared with the rest of the world. Now we have a differentiation, but it's shocking. It's not that, you guys are special. Take a look at Paragimel Pasuk Aleph, Shimu, as Devar Hashem, as Devar Hazeh Asher Dibar Hashem Aleichem Bnei Yisrael, Al Kol Mishpacha Asher Aleisi Meretz Mitzrayim Lemor. Rak Eschem Yadati Mikol Mishpachos Ha'adama. I only know you amongst all the nations of the world. Yadati could mean know. Rashi says Ahavti. Very similar Lashon to Parshas Lech Lecha, actually. Al Kain Efkod Aleichem Eskol Avonoseichem. Therefore, I am going to punish you for all of your sins. In other words, here Hashem is distinguishing us from the rest of the world, but the distinction carries with it a heavy burden. We, more than any other nation, are going to be punished for our averos. If you look at the Mefarshim over here, they give a number of explanations why this is, but it is quite fascinating that take a look, Ibn Ezra, Radak, they give different biurim, Rashi, Al-Sheikh, but our special status means we're going to be especially punished. And the question, I think, that we all wonder by this point in the Sefer is, well, could we be utterly destroyed? Could we, in fact, suffer the same fate as the Kenanim? Is our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu guaranteed? The relationship is stressed here. Why, Dafka, there's more of a reason why we're going to be punished. Hashem took such good care of us. And therefore, when we're undeserving, we're going to be especially punished. We don't have time today to read the whole parak, but throughout the Sefer, this type of confusion continues. Skip, for example, to Parak Hay, Pasuk Beis. We're talking about Bnei Yisrael. The Pasuk says something shocking. Nafla lo sosif kum besulas Yisrael. Besulas Yisrael has fallen and she will not continue to rise. Nitsha al admasa ein mikima. She is spread out, I guess, on her soil. There's nobody to raise her up. The pasuk, at least simply read, implies finality. It's all over. Now, it is true that Chazal were aware of that implication, and they said, you know what? The Gemara, Brachos, Taladim, and Beis, says we should read the pasuk a little differently. She has fallen, but she won't arise again. Bisulas Yisrael. In other words, as opposed to the Pashupshat, Nafla lo sosif kum Bisulas Yisrael. Bisulas Yisrael has fallen and she won't arise again. No, the Pasuk means that she won't fall anymore. So here maybe there's a little difference between the Pshuto Shel Mikra and Chazal. But the truth is that when we continue reading in the Pesukim, we get the other impression. Take a look at Pasuk Gimel. Kicho Amar Hashem Elokim, Ha'ir Hayotzeis Aleph Tashir Mea, Hayotzeis Mea Tashir Asara Leveis Yisrael. So what does this mean? What is this telling us? Something will be remained. We might be destroyed, but at least something will survive. Take a look, Radak, Ibn Ezra, they make this point in different ways. Again, I would say the confusion about Bechir Yisrael continues and throughout the upcoming Prakim, especially Perak Zion, where we have Psukim going back and forth as to whether Hashem will utterly destroy us or not. The Psukim almost describe back and forth. Same thing in Pasuk in Parak Ches. Take a look at Pasuk Beis in Parak Ches. Again, after, maybe over Shabbos, to read the whole parak, but just take a look. Vayomer, Mata Roa Mosa Omer Kelev Kites, Vayomer Hashem, Eli, Baha Kates, Elam Yisrael, Lo Osif Od Avor Ba. Again, the Pashup Shat sounds like it's over. It's done. We're, Hashem is finished with us. A Kates. And all this comes to a climax in Perek Tes. And Perek Tes is the Haftarah, as we mentioned. So let's turn to Perek Tes. And I think the most shocking pasuk here is Pasuk Zayin. Halo chivnei chushiyim atem li, b'nei Yisrael. You are like Kushites to me, children of Kushites to me. What this means is somewhat unclear, but it certainly doesn't seem complimentary. It sounds like there's nothing particularly special about us. Now you'll say, how could that be? But don't we have a special bond with HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So the pasuk continues. Halo as Yisrael, halaisi meret Mitzrayim. It's true. I took Yisrael out of Mitzrayim, but also uflishtim mikaftor v'aram mikir. I took the plishtim out of kaftor, aram out of kir. Again, it almost sounds like there's nothing special about us. Is almost sounds like our rescue from Egypt is not even unique. You find a similar idea. And I don't want to get into it now. It's a big parsha. And the Mefarshim don't all learn the pasuk the way I was reading it. In Yirmiyahu. In Yirmiyahu, Perek Ches, Perek Mem Ches, Pasuk Mem Zayin, and Perek Mem Tes, Pasuk Vav, Perek Mem Tes, Pasuk Lamed Tes. They all appear to describe some type of ingathering of other nations. Lasid Lavo, of Ammon, of Moab, of Elim. Radak says, no, you shouldn't read those psukim that way. It doesn't mean to imply that Ammon, Moab, and Elim will experience redemption like Bnei Yisrael. It means that Bimos HaMashiach, all the nations will recognize one true God. It doesn't mean they'll be restored to their powers. But interesting, similar pattern. Rashi quotes this in his Perash Al HaTorah in one place. There's a question exactly what the Gerson Rashi is. So what does this mean? Take a look at Pasuk Ches. Hine, hine Hashem, b'mamlacha chata'a, b'shmadati osa, me'al p'nei adama. Again, sounds like we're going to be destroyed. However, Ephes, ki lo hashmeid ashmid space Yaakov ne'um Hashem. And here we have a very important turn. And this is the point that the Rav said, why we make sure to have this Kriya as the Haftarah from Parshas Achrimos. Because it is true, we will be destroyed. We will be thrown out of Eretz Yisrael if we don't keep our side of the agreement. But, lo hashmed hashmed espes Yaakov num Hashem, I won't utterly destroy them. When it seems that all is lost, the Pasuk tells us we will never be utterly decimated. We will be scattered throughout the nations, the Pasuk says. We will go into galus, we'll be shaken like a sieve. But there's hope, because ultimately we will be redeemed. And that's what the psukim continue with. The rest of the Sefer really has this positive message. Again, it has the suffering, mecherv yamusu, kasher yanua kivra, you're going to be like the people in the sifter, v'lo yipol tzrora eretz. But finally, the end, Pasuk Yud Aleph. Bayom hahu akim esukas David hanofeles, v'gidarti es pirtzehen, v'harisosiv akim uvnisiha kimei olam. Everything is going to ultimately end in redemption. And that's the conclusion. So we have this tension throughout the Sefer. We're wondering, are we like the other nations in the sense that if we mess up, Hashem will reject us? Or are we different? That ultimately, yes, Hashem will punish us for our wrongdoing, but nevertheless, we are different, and we're guaranteed that difference because of our eternal bond with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's, I think, the theme of the Sefer, the back and forth throughout the Sefer, and also the conclusion of the Sefer. And with this, I want to return to our basic question, which is why do we have this special relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Why did Hashem choose us? And likewise, is that selection eternal? Is it guaranteed forever? And take a look at your Makoros. I think we can address this question looking at the very beginning, the first moments of Bechiras Yisrael, and we can glean insight to this question from a striking difference that the Ramban and the Maharal point out between the way the Torah introduces Avram Avinu and the way the Torah introduces Noach. So how does the Torah introduce Noach? It tells us exactly why he was chosen. Ela told us, Noach, Noach, Yishtadik, Tamim Hayab, Derosav, Es HaLokim, Hisalech, Noach. Why was Noach chosen? Noach was chosen because of, he was a tzaddik, he was a tamim, he followed in the ways of Hashem. Good. And Mimela, now we understand why. Vayomer Hashem al Noach, now I'm choosing you for this mission, build the ark. When we turn to Avram Avinu, Perek Yud Beis, Vayomer Hashem al Avram, Lech lecha me'artecha mimoladetecha mi'esavicha l'aretz asher areka. Hashem says, go. He gives Avram this mission, go to Eretz Yisrael. Amazing. But why? Why doesn't the Torah begin in the same way it does with Noah? Why doesn't it say, you know, El told us Avram yitzadik, tamim haya b'derosav, esalkimis halech Noah, vayomer Hashem al Avram, lech lecha me'artzecha, as it does with Noah? Why doesn't Hashem tell us why he chose Avram Avinu? It's shocking. It's shocking. Why did Hashem speak to Avram as opposed to everybody else in the world? It doesn't say it anywhere in the Torah. Noach, we know exactly why Hashem chose him. Avram, in the Torah Shebichsav, it says nothing. What's the pshat? So Ramban has a suggestion. He talks about the fact that it relates to Avram's early history being entangled with Avodah Zarah, not wanting to talk about that. But the Maharal has a very fascinating approach. If you take a look next over here, Sefer Netzach Yisrael, Perek Yud Aleph. And let's take a look at what he says, because I think it's very, very instructive. Ilan, you have a question?
Yeah, what about the psukim in the beginning of Parshas Vayera about Ki Yedatzi B'man Asher Yitzav Esponu Adiz Beisu Achrav? Would we be reading
exactly
that?
So perhaps, that's a great question. Those might be given, you could read those in two ways. You could be reading that as, this is why I chose him. Or other Mefarshim read it a little differently. But even if you're right, it doesn't say it at the beginning. In other words, those psukim describe Avram already after we found out about how great Avram is. So if that's true, so let it say it at the beginning. In other words, why not tell us why Hashem spoke to Avram Avinu? So even if we're going to read the psukim like you're suggesting, which isn't actually so pashut, but so let's start off with, you know, El tells of, you know, Hashem saw Avram ki yadativ l'man asher yitzav es banav l'alech zacharav l'yom asher l'avram l'ech l'cha me'artzacha. Right? If that's the reason, put it at the beginning, just like it does for Noach. So certainly the psukim, we find out how amazing Avram Avinu is, but only after he's selected. So how do we explain that? So this is what the Maral says. Aval l'fi advar masher amarnu l'cha lo yikshaklau. Ki etzel Noach lo yarak b'chira prati. B'chira pratis hu l'fi mashehu. B'hakol l'fi ma'ise tzidko shalo. We have to appreciate that there's a totally different nature to the selection of Noach versus the selection of Avram. Noach was chosen as an individual, as a prati. He had a mission, and he was selected for his mission for a particular reason. He was most fit for his mission. And when his mission was complete, then his selection was complete, and there's nothing special about him anymore. That was it. So, of course, it's mission dependent. So, you know, we need to see his resume. We're going to see, why did Hashem choose Noach amongst all people? Because his selection didn't go beyond him. Aval be'Avram, lo haya b'chira pratit, rak be'uma ha'yisraelis, shehem zaro. From the very beginning, the b'chira of Avram, we already see in the beginning of Lech Lecha, Avram Avinu wasn't chosen as an individual for an individual mission. He was chosen to be the founder of a nation. It was a national selection. The mission, as it were, goes well beyond him. It wasn't limited to him. It went beyond him. And accordingly, it wasn't just based off of the reasons for him. Of course, Avram Avinu was great. Maybe the greatest person ever to live. And certainly that's relevant to his selection. But if the Torah would have said that I am choosing you, Avram Avinu, because of X, Y, and Z, so that would imply that the election was dependent upon X, Y, and Z. And should it be the case that X, Y, and Z are no longer true, then the selection would no longer be true. In the case of Noach, that was correct. But not so in the case of Avram Avinu, because it wasn't just about him. It was about the nation that would follow him. And that's what the Pasuk says. Shavei ksiv ba'osa b'chira. It says in the b'chira of Avram Avinu, v'aseh oscha l'gai gadol. I'm selecting you to become a great nation. V'zeh b'chira klalis. U'b'chira kimo zos. Ein tola v'maisa klal. V'lo b'cheit. Ki amaisu l'prat. Lo b'cheit. Meaning to say, even if we mess up, the bechira doesn't end. Afki bevade is chosav l'smoyo, mikomakom ikar bechira klalis bo vizaro. Val yikshema she'amar lo betzid kascha ta bal aresha solmana kima se davar shenishba alav osecha. Bevade davar zeh ma shehevi oso hador el haaretz hayatolam is chosav l'smoyo. It's chosav l'smoyo so far. But it's not it. Our bechira isn't just limited to schosafos. In fact, Chazal say tamas schosafos. V'gam davar zeprati, aval ikara bechira shebachar Hashem Yisrael izborach ba'Avram lo haya bechira pratis. Rak shebachar bo v'zaro acharav bechira klalis. V'lo haya bechira pratis. Shebechira pratis hu l'fi ha'mekabel. V'im nishtane ha'mekabel yishtane ha'dabar. U'lekach yitur etz ha'sheila shelo hizkir ha'kas of tzidkas Avram kodem shenigla ilav. Hashchina, v'amelo lech lecha me'artzachom ladetcha she'im kach haya mashma shek lekach nigla elav HaKadosh Baruch Hu v'amar lo lech lecha me'artzacha b'shvil zchuso shehizgir v'im kein haya zos ha'ava tluya b'davar had it said the reason, so it'd be Ava Kli B'davar. And what do we say about that? V'chol Ava Kli B'davar, Batal Adavar, Batal Ha'ava. L'fikach ala b'chira pratis yesh shinui, v'lo ala b'chira klalis. B'chira klalis is beyond reason, and as such, it's eternal. The kevan shelo nizkar tzidkas Avram kodem she'amar lech l'cha mi'artzucha, lo haya ze b'shvil tzidkas Avram. Ad she'tomar, in batel davar batel ha'ava. Had it told us the reason, it would imply that it's dependent upon reason. And should the reason be gone, it would be gone. And he continues in this vein. He quotes a medrash that supports this, as well as other sources and other psukim. And again, he concludes, v'af shahaya gorim ma'asem l'tov, o l'rash yosef hadveikos o yigra. Of course, our behavior is relevant. The better we are, the closer we are to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And when we are not acting as we should, we are pushed away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we're punished, and the like. In fact, as we saw in the Psukim and Amos, we're punished worse. Rak eschem yadati, and therefore what? Right, and it's actually alluding to that pasuk that Ilan referred to. Same pasuk. So therefore, I'm going to punish you worse. As Rashi points out in his Peshal HaTorah as well, that dafka, first of all, Hashem expects more of us because of what he gave us, but also because he can never get rid of us, then memela, we have to suffer. But nevertheless, we call makom, etzem ha-bechira, loya b'shvil ma'isa klal, and therefore it is eternal. That is what the Maral infers. He has a nice diak from the pasuk that we say every day in Nehemiah. Atah Hashem Elokim Asher Bachartav Avraham Yotzeisu Mi'or Kasdim Samtash Ma'Avraham Umatzasas Levavo Neman Lefanach. What does it say? You are Hashem who was Bocher B'Avraham, took him out of Or Kasdim, made his name Avraham, and then Matzasas Levavo Neman Lefanach. In other words, it doesn't say Atah Hashem Elokim Asher Matzas Lev Avraham Neman Lefanach Ubachartavav Yotzeisu Mi'or Kasdim. No. First, it's the Bechira, and then it's Matzasa as Levavo Ne'eman Lefanecha. That's the implication of the Pasuk. So, it's a very beautiful point. But one of the things we have to ask, just to elaborate, in other words, we're not saying, I don't think the Maral is saying, that the Bechira is for no purpose. It's not necessarily that Hashem randomly selected Avram Avinu, but it's not totally bedavar. It's meant to be seen as something that's inscrutable, something that reflects Hashem's wisdom that's beyond our ability to understand. It's meant to be something that is mysterious. It's like love, which can't be explained using rational terms. And therefore, dafka, the Torah omits the reason. The Torah omits the reason. Now, what's so interesting about this is that when we look at Chazal, when we look to the Torah Sheba'al Peh, we find the opposite message. There are midrashim that talk about how Avram Avinu was already the greatest person ever to live before Hashem chose him. He was Moser Nafsho at Or Kasdim. He independently discovered HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He taught the idea of monotheism to the whole world, and he risked his life as such. The Rambam very powerfully brings down these ideas at the beginning of Hilchos Avodah Zarah. You have in your next source. And so we have, in a sense, a contradiction between the Torah Shebichsav and the Torah Shebaal Peh. The Torah Shebichsav emphasizes the lack of reason in Bechira, or at least the inscrutability of Bechira. And we have Chazal telling us the reason, telling us exactly why HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose Avram Avinu. Now, again, it's not a stira, but it raises a glaring question. If it's so important for the Torah to omit Avram's early history, because according to Maral, that would imply that it was a Ava Tuliya Bedavar. It was a Bechira Tuliya Bedavar. So then, why do Chazal tell us? You see, interestingly enough, the same pattern in Sefer Dvarim, Perek Zayin, Pasuk Vav, where the Pshuto Shel Mikra, Hashem is hiding the reason why he chose us. Dafka telling us, I'm not going to tell you the reason. Kiyam kadosh atal Hashem alokecha, b'cha b'char Hashem alokecha, li'os lo olam segula mikol amim, asher al pnei adama, lo merubchem, mikol amim chashak Hashem b'chem, v'yivchar b'chem, ki atama mikol amim. Ki me'avas Hashem eschem, u'mishamros ha'shvua, asher nishba la vzeichem, hotzi Hashem eschem, b'yad chazaka, v'yivtecha mi'beis avadim, mi'ad paro melech Mitzrayim. It's not because you're meruba, it's not because you're special, it's because Hashem loved the avos. But Hashem is dafka not telling us the reason for the bechira. If we look at Chazal on that very pasuk, the Gemara Chulin, Peites Med Aleph, your next source. So there, dafka from that very same pasuk, Chazal find an allusion to the very reason why Hashem chose us. Lo meri b'chem mikol amin chashak Hashem b'chem. Amar lehem HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'Yisrael. Choshkani b'chem shafilu b'sha sh'ani mashpia lachem gedula atem imatim atzmechem lefanai. The pasuk here is alluding to the reason why Hashem chose us, because we are humble. Even when Hashem bestows greatness upon us, we humble ourselves before Him. Avram Avinu was made great, and he says, "Anochi afer ve'efer." Moshe Rabbeinu were made great, and they said, "V'nachnu ma." David HaMelech was made great, and he said, "V'anochi tolas v'lo ish." And by Ovdei Kochavim, the opposite is true. I gave Gedula to Nimrod, and he said, Hava Nivna Lanu Ir. I gave Gedula to Paro, and he said, Mi Hashem. I gave Gedula to Sancheirev, and he said, Mi B'chol Elohei Aratzos. I gave Gedula to Nebuchadnezzar, and he said, Ela Al Bamaseyav. I gave Gedula to Chiram, and he said, Moshav Elokim Yashavti B'lev Yamim. So these very same psukim, that the simple reading are hiding the reason for Bechira, Chazal see them as alluding to a reason of Bechira. So how are we, Gabriel, did you have a question you wanted to ask?
I guess my question was, to what extent are Chazal just trying to address the question of why is Hashem a choice arbitrary?
I agree. So that's I think the answer is clearly they are. But still, I mean, is it a stira? So whenever we see situations like this, where we get one message, let's say from the simple reading of the Torah Shabbosav, and another message from Chazal, we have to appreciate that one only gets a partial picture of the Torah from Torah Shebichsav, and in a sense also from Torah Shebaal Peh. You need both. So applied to us, what it's telling us is that there are in fact two aspects of our Bechira. There's an aspect of our Bechira which is indeed Talui B'Ma'aseinu, Avram Avinu's greatness, Klal Yisrael's greatness, and there's an aspect to our Bechira, which is inscrutable and beyond reason. They're both true. The Torah Shebichsav emphasizes one aspect. The Torah Shebaal Peh emphasizes a different aspect. If you only had one of these two things, you'd have a partial perspective, but an incomplete perspective. And we need both. And I think one way to look at this is by considering the metaphors that are used to describe the relationship between Klal Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There are, of course, many metaphors, but two in particular stand out. The first is that we are, of course, the children of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. B'ni b'chori Yisrael, banim atem l'Hashem l'keichem. The second is that we are his spouse. Be'ras tichli li'olam, all of Shir Shirim, according to Chazal, depicts the relationship, the spousal relationship between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael. So let's consider the difference between these two bonds. When it comes to the parent-child relationship, first of all, The parent-child relationship is not one which is rooted in reason. A parent loves their child from before they were born. It's not because the child did anything that they deserve this love. It's essential, it's inherent, it's natural, and in a sense, it's irrational. When it comes to a spouse, so a person chooses their spouse for reasons. Now, of course, the love between a husband and wife should go well beyond those reasons, but it's rooted in reason. And there's, of course, an outgrowth of that distinction. The parent-child bond is eternal, it's guaranteed. Since it's not rooted in reason, it's not dependent upon reason. A parent can't divorce their child. They might be estranged. They might separate. They might act inappropriately towards each other and stop talking to each other, but they're still parent-child. Not so when it comes to spouses. If one spouse doesn't live up to the expectation, the agreement, so then the relationship can end. And by using both of these metaphors, so we see that there are two aspects to our relationship. One aspect of our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is similar to a child-parent bond. It's beyond reason. That's the aspect that's depicted in Parshas Lech Lecha, in the Torah Shebichtav, that it's something that's inscrutable, it's beyond reason. And there's another aspect, which is emphasized in the Torah Shebaal Peh. The truth is, you have ideas of both sides, in both Torah Shebichtav and Torah Shebaal Peh, but in the sources we've seen today, at least, that's emphasized in the Torah Shebaal Peh. And that is that it is based off of reason, the parent, the spousal relationship, and as such, it's dependent upon the reason. So because there's this parent-child relationship, the Psukim tell us that it's eternal. In Bereshis, Vakimosius Brisi, Beiniu Veinecha, Uvein Zarecha, Acharecha L'Dorosam, Lebris Olam. It's an eternal covenant, everlasting. It can never be broken. And as Rashi, you have it over here, Dvarim Chavtes points out, that's Gufa, why Hashem has all these shvuos. Because since it can't be broken, so Lefi Shadavar Zeh, Shadiber Lecha, V'nishba Lavosecha, Shalo Lahachlef Ezarim Be'uma Cheres, Lekach Hu Oser Eschem, B'shvuos Halalu, Shalo Takniteu, Achar Shehu Enu Yachol, an idea we already saw in the Psukim. And some Psukim, many Psukim, certainly emphasize the everlasting nature of our relationship. In Parshas Bechukosai, we have all the punishments for our sins. But in the end of the day, Vavaditem Bagoyim Va'achla Eschem Eretz Oyvechem, but the Afkam Zos Biosam Beretz Oyvechem, Lo Me'astem Lo Ge'altem Chalosem Lafer Brisitam, Ki Ani Hashem Lokechem. There's still that bris. Zacharti Lames Brish Rishonim, Asher Tzeisus Amir Tzitzrayim Lein Yagoy Mios Lahem Elohim Ani Hashem, and you'll be redeemed. And so many Psukim emphasize this. And indeed, that is the conclusion of Amos. As we saw throughout Amos, the Psukim go back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. But the conclusion is, Paraktas, Pasuk Ches, Hinei, Einei Hashem Elokim b'mamlacha chata'a, v'shmadati osame al p'nei ha'adama, Efes, lo hashmid, hashmid, es b'nei Yisrael, es b'nei Yisrael, num Hashem. You won't be utterly destroyed. The Rambam, in his Igeres Teiman, writes that just as Hashem is unchanging, so too his relationship with Klal Yisrael is unchanging. On the other hand, there are many psukim, a bunch of which we saw in Sefer Amos, that send the opposite message. The Tochachon Dvarim does not end off seemingly with a guarantee of redemption. Perhaps Nitzavim, which follows and discusses redemption, tells us that. But when you read Parshas Kisavo, the Tochacha ends, and it seems like that's it. If we mess up, it's over. Psukim throughout Tanakh talk about the end. Perhaps the most shocking example of this, which really reflects the mishalim that we're saying, is from Yirmiyah Perek Gimel. Lemor, Pasuk Aleph, Heim Yishalach Ish Es Ishto V'alcha Meito V'aysal Ish Acher, Hayashuv Elea Aod, Halo Chanov Techanef Haaretz Ahi, Va'at Zanis Reim Rabim, V'shuv Elayinu Mashem. What's the halacha? If a man divorces his wife, and she's with other people, or he divorces her because she is adulterous, and Avodah Zarah is compared to adultery, because that's actually exactly what it is. We married HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we committed adultery when we served other gods. Can she return to him? There's an Isser Machzir Gushaso. So can you call Yisrael return to me? Says Hashem. And even more, Pasuk Ches, Veira, Veira, Ki Alodos Asher Niyafa, Mishuva Yisrael, Shilachtia, the lower tribes, Yehuda, saw what I did to the 10 northern tribes. I sent them away because of their sinfulness. I divorced her. I gave her a get. I divorced the northern kingdom. Bogda Yehuda, Achosa. And her sister, Bogda Yehuda, saw and didn't learn. Vatelech, Vatizen Gamhi, she too went and engaged in Znus. These shocking psukim sound like they're saying that Hashem divorced Klal Yisrael because of adultery. They don't say explicitly that he divorced all of Klal Yisrael, but certainly they highlight the potentiality of divorce. So what does that mean? Does that mean that Hashem could end it? As we saw in Amos, the psukim are all about that question. The answer, according to what we're saying, is no. And that's because we're not just subject to that spousal relationship. Lu Yitzuyer, our whole bond with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, was the spousal bond. So then, yes, in Achinami, we could be divorced and it could be over. But we also have that parent-child bond. It's not just the spousal bond, which is described here in Yirmiyahu. And this idea is spelled out very powerfully in Kiddushin Daf Lamed Vav Amud Aleph. Take a look. Banim atem l'Hashem Elokeichem. Bizman shatem noagim minag banim. Atem kriyim banim. Ein atem noagim minag banim. Ein atem kriyim banim. Divri Rabbi Yehuda, Remeir, Omer. Bein kach ubein kach. Atem kriyim banim. Rabbi Yehuda says that you're children if you act like children. But Remeir says no. And he proves it. You're called children. You remain God's children no matter how you act. How do I know? The Pasuk says, Banim Sichlim Hema. The Pasuk says, Banim Lo Emun Ban. The Pasuk says, Zerem Reim Banim Ashchisim. What do all these psukim teach us? Even when we're not acting like children, we're still children. It's true, Lo Emun Ban, but we are Banim Lo Emun Ban. It's true, we are Mashchisim, but we are Banim Mashchisim. Ve'omer v'ayah b'makom asher yomar lahem lo ami atem yomar lahem b'ni al chai. The Rashba says, fascinating, you might think that this is an agadah to Gemara, we don't need a paskin. Says the Rashba, we paskin like Remeir. And even though we don't usually paskin like Remeir, against Rabbi Yehuda. Here we do paskin like Rabbi Meir. Why? He brings a raya from Sukkim. And there's a nafkamina, he says. A nafkamina is how do you deal with a mishumid who comes back. If you think that you're really banim, so yeah, then you're banim ashrisim, but you could come back. Children, like we said, could be estranged. They could mess up. They could behave so badly their parents throw them out of the house. But they could always come back. And likewise, the Meshumad could come back. The Meshumad could come back. That's the nafkamina. In other words, because we are also his children, because of that parent-child aspect of our relationship, the one that's beyond reason. So it's nitzchi. It's a bris olam. It's guaranteed. That's why perhaps the psukim at the end of Yirmiyahu says, Hashem says, I'm going to comfort you like a mother comforts her children, as a parent comforts her children, because it's due to that parent-child relationship that our relationship is guaranteed, no matter what. It's true. It doesn't make sense. The love of a parent to a child doesn't make sense either. And it could be guaranteed as such. There are halachic expressions of this dichotomy that we've been discussing. We see in halacha stira. On one hand, the Gemara says in many places that a Jew can never lose their Jewishness. Mani Vamos over here. I'll get to you in a second, Yonatan. Tava the Allah. The kiddush of kiddushin, even a convert, once they convert, they're Jewish. And once you're Jewish, you never lose your Jewishness. There's no such thing as converting out. So therefore, no matter what you do, if you're Mekadesh, a non-Jew is Mekadesh, a Bas Yisrael, there's no kiddushin. And this mumer, mishumet, whatever he is, who's Mekadesh Abbas Yisrael, Kiddush of Kiddushin. Chazal famously derive this from the Pasuk in Yoshua by Achan. The Pasuk says, Chata Yisrael, v'gam avru es brisi asher tzivisi, osam, v'gam lachum en acherem, v'gam ganavu, v'gam kichashu, v'gam samu b'kilem. They did everything wrong. Chazal say, Achan did the worst of the worst possible things, but still, Chata Yisrael. What does that teach us? The Gemara Sanhedrin says, Af al pi shechata Yisrael hu. You're guaranteed. You can't lose that Jewishness. You're like the child of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, no matter what. That's on the one hand. However, we also know in Halacha that Mumar ke'akom l'chol davar. That means that a Jew who rejects his Jewishness has a din of an akum, is a din of a guy. For many nafkaminas, he's a din of a guy. Shechit is invalid, you burn a sefer Torah that he makes. According to many Rishonim, you could charge him ribbis. And many, many other nafkaminas has a din of a guy. Mumar ka'akum. So which one is it? Is it Yisrael afal pi shechata, Yisrael hu, or is it mumar ka'akum? The answer is like we've been saying, that there are two aspects of our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They're both true. And therefore, it is both the case that Yisrael afal pi shechata Yisrael hu, and also mumar ka'akum l'chol davar. And it's interesting, actually, if... Yes. Let me just finish the point, because we're almost out of time, and I want to hear what you have to say, but... when we look at the halachos on this point, you see, for example, Rashi over there in Bechoros makes this point. Harei hu kisrael mumar, the lo aminan de lehavi ovi kochavim gamur. In other words, he is like a guy. Yeah, he's not an ovi kochavim gamur. Rashi actually has a series of tshuvos on this topic. And it's actually very interesting. There's three tshuvos Rashis. I put them on your sheets a little later on this topic. And he cites the Gemara from that we mentioned before, Yisrael, Afal Pishachata Yisraelhu. And it's actually interesting that he quotes this, that particular Rashi Gemara, not the more halachic Gemara that we mentioned from Yevamos, that Kiddush of Kiddushin. It's not always clear-cut which halacha we applies, meaning to say, with respect to which dinim do we say Yisrael mumar is ka'akam l'chal davar, and with respect to which dinim do we say Yisrael afal pishachata Yisraelhu? How do you know which one to apply? There's a very fascinating essay written by Rav Aaron Lichtenstein on this topic. He wrote it in response to the Brother Daniel issue, which was he was a Dominican friar, but born Jewish, who wanted to emigrate to Israel and get citizenship based off of the law of return in order to proselytize. So what do we do? How do we paskin? Do we say about such a person, Yisrael afal pishachata Yisraelhu? So he should be given citizenship, or do we say mumar ka'akam l'chol davar, and therefore he should be not accepted? And Rav Lichtenstein in that piece makes the idea that we've been saying. We have Shem Yisrael and Kedushas Yisrael. Someone who rejects his Jewishness keeps his Shem Yisrael, but he loses Kedushas Yisrael. Maybe it makes more sense that something like the law of return, though not a halachic topic, should follow the rules of Yisrael, mumar ka'akum l'chol davar. And we find, get certain cases, machloksim, there's of course a shita of the Gaonim, that you can leave. There's a discussion in Yevamos about the Aseres HaShvatim, did they lose their Jewishness? Is that possible or the like? One way or the other, what we see is that there are these two aspects to Bechiras Yisrael. And that's, as we saw, what Sefer Amos is all about. But because of the parent-child relationship, so even if, in a sense, one aspect of our relationship is dependent on our behavior, and it could be lost, but the ultimate relationship is eternal and guaranteed, like Amos concludes, because we have that eternal bond. The nature of the relationship between Klal Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mysterious and it's complex. Just one final thought, and then I'll take your questions. You know, we sing tonight, Yidid Nefesh, Av HaRachaman, Mishoch Avdecha Ritzonecha. In that one line, look at the different relationships emphasized. We are HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Yidid Nefesh, his soul friend, his friend. Amazing. We see many psukim, that idea. We're a friend of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's incredible if you think about it. He's our Av HaRachaman. He's our father. Mishoch Avdecha Ritzonecha. We are his Eved. Right? One line, you have three metaphors. And Lamaisa, when it's between two humans, these are totally different relationships. Your relationship to your friend is very different than your relationship with your parent, very different than your relationship with your master, very different than your relationship with your spouse. And yet, all of them are somehow mekuyim in our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's how it could be that we are at once, on the one hand, guaranteed eternality to our bond. It's a bris olam. At the same time, if we don't live up to our side of the bargain, we could be divorced. The relationship could be terminated because they're all true. Could we fully understand it? Maybe not. But what we're meant to do, as perhaps we see from these sources, is to try to understand it to the best of our ability and to see these different dimensions in our relationship. So what we're going to do next time, Bezras Hashem, is discuss the implications of this relationship. Today we talked about why HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose us. Next week, we'll talk about what that means for the rest of the world. What are the implications of that chosenness? How should we think of them? How does Hashem think of them? What role do they play? What role do we play? Okay, I know there are a bunch of questions. Ellie.
Yeah, I was just wondering if you say that B'nai Yisrael were Kibbonim and we passed in like Rabbi Meir, that status cannot be lost. Why in the Rosh Hashanah davening after the Shavuot do we say in Kibbonim Kavadim? Sounds like we're this is a book about what our relationship is.
I think if you look at the tefillah on Yom Ha'Raim, you see all those aspects stressed. We have Im Kibbonim and we have Kibbonim. We have, right, Im Anu Banecha, and then we have if we are, and we have in the various piyutim throughout the tefillah, all of the different aspects of our relationship stressed. And that's because, like we said, it's a complex relationship that includes all of those aspects. And, you know, especially on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, when we feel a little bit desperate, we invoke whatever we can in our favor. So we say, Im Kivanim, so then Rachameinu Kirachem Abba Abanim. And if we're a Kavadim, then Inenu Lucha Tlios, we, in arguing for our forgiveness, we turn to whatever we can. And we hope, because we are all those things, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu forgives us and allows us to return to him based off of these aspects. In a sense, I think it's saying exactly what we've been saying, which is we're all these things. So we turn to whatever we can. Avram.
Okay, first of all, I thought it was interesting that in the Gemara in Brachas and Daf Yud Amud Aleph, the Gemara brings over a story about the Brione in the neighborhood of Reb Meir, that Reb Meir wanted, they were bothering him, so at first he was going to daven they should die, and his wife said, it says, Yitomu Chatoim in the arts, that the sins should die and not the sinners. Mm-hmm. So there's a distinction between people and the things that they do. Mm-hmm. So after that, Reb Meir said, daven that they should do tshuva. So it's interesting that he's the same shita that says that we're always banim, because we're, as people, we're always banim. The sins is a separate thing. That's not who we are. We're always banim.
I hear.
So I think it goes hand in hand, Reb Meir Lishitoso from his wife, you know?
Okay, very good.
Then another point I wanted to make was that I saw an amazing Chassam Sofer over Pesach that asks, how should we feel like we're a chosen nation when Hashem went around the all the nations of the world first before us to give them the Torah and we were the last ones? Mm-hmm. Why should we feel like we're chosen when we were the last ones to be offered the Torah?
Mm-hmm. So what does this mean?
So the Chassam Sofer says a mashal that imagine a father who has a whole bunch of sons, and there's one son that he is his favorite one, and he basically gets him trained in understanding geology and diamonds and everything about diamonds, and then when he's going to divide up his land to give to his children, he gives all the other children first choice. And they have all these different types of properties, you know, fields, and so all of them had, all of the other sons had the opportunity to choose this rocky property, but nobody saw the value. How am I supposed to farm with this rocky property? Only this one who got the education realized the value in that property. That's a diamond mine, and that it's worth, you know, so much more than everything else. So what he wanted to say is, Chassam Sofer saying, Hashem implanted in the Jewish people this ability to value the Torah, to understand how much value the Torah has and the deep meaning in life. And that, and because we had that, even though technically we were offered it last, we were the only ones who had that discernment to understand the value, to appreciate it.
Okay, very nice.
You want me to send you that Chasam cipher?
Sure. Wonderful. Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, how do we understand Acher? I understand this may be a bit of a different question. I understand that. But at the same time, like, there are psukim here and there, and fine, you hear the basketball, but it's a state in Tanakh, you know?
Yeah, it's a good question. There are differing ways how to understand Acher and the like, you know. The Rambam tells us, for example, in Hilchos Tshuva, that there are all sorts of things that make tshuva really, 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 really hard. But he also tells us that tshuva is always possible. One way to look at Acher, perhaps, is that there's a baskol that said he can't do tshuva. It's true. But in mashgichim the baskol, you know, the baskol also said halach Reb Lezer. And we don't pass him like Rabbi Eliezer in Tanur Shalach Noi. It's meant, he wasn't supposed to listen to the Baskol. The Baskol reflected a certain perspective. And there is truth to that perspective. But it's not the ultimate perspective. I'll give you a mashal. There's a very famous medrash. The Maharal explains this medrash at the beginning of Nesiv HaTshuva, Nesiv Solam. And the medrash says that they asked different things. What should be with a chote? They asked Chachma, what should be with a chote? And Chachma said, HaNefesh HaChotas Yitamos. That sin, you know, you self-destruct. You have no zchus kiyum. They asked Nevuah, what should be? And Nevuah said, it's not Shaykh Tshuva once you do a certain thing. You know, you rebelled against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They asked Torah what should be. The Torah said, okay, there has to be consequences. So you could bring a karban. And then they asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu what should be. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, you should do Tshuva. So what does that mean? In other words, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu also wrote the Torah. And what does that mean? There's chachma, nevuah is from Hashem. There's a way, a perspective of chachma. And from the perspective of chachma, if you're chote, so there's no makom for your kiyum. You've self-destructed. Torah is how we could live, and you've rejected Torah. There's a perspective of nevuah. And there's no zchus kiyum for someone who rebelled against HaKadosh Baruch Hu and didn't listen to him. There's a perspective of Torah that states at least there has to be a consequence. And indeed, there, you know, there's not a karban for everything. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu says you could return. The Baskol reflected a certain perspective. But Shuva, which is ultimately beyond human comprehension, and as such, isn't even reflected in Chachma, in Torah, and in Nevuah, is still possible. Again, it's not something that makes sense. It's not something that can be understood. Logically, at a certain point in time, it's over. It's too much. You can't go back. But there's a level that's beyond all those things in which tshuva is possible. And that's what we're saying. That's something that's beyond reason. It reflects the parent-child bond. It's eternal. It's not subject to logic. Logically, it doesn't make sense. Just like logically, the love of a parent to a child doesn't make sense. But it's something that goes beyond any type of understanding. And so, yes, there might have been a baskol that said that it's too late. But in mashgichim baskol, just like we know, you know, that Chachamim understood that despite the baskol that says halach Rabbi Eliezer, we don't paskin like Rabbi Eliezer. So too, Acher should have and could have understood that we don't paskin like that paskal, but he didn't. And he listened to the wrong voice, and memela, he didn't come back. But it doesn't mean it's impossible. It might be very, very, very hard to come back after you've done what he did, but it does. It's never impossible.
But is Rebbe saying that his mistake was the perspective that he chose?
Yeah. I mean, he had a lot of mistakes, but that was part of his... There's something deeper here, which, again, is not... is a little bit beyond our topic. Acher, Utsado talks a lot about this, actually. Acher, that perspective, which is Shayach, Taka relates to Parshas HaShavua. It's good that the most of the Chevra left already, because this is a great secret, the Ramban says. So the Ramban in our Parsha talks about what's the pshat in Seir Lazazel. It's talk a very mud nizach. He quotes a medrash that compares it to a karban, to Satan. And if you were to think about this any other time, you would say, you know what that is? That's Avodah Zarah, right? A karban to Satan is Avodah Zarah. And Taka, the Avodah of the Seir Lazazel looks like Avodah Bachutz. It violates all the rules. Your Avodah Tashem has to be in the Beis HaMikdash. What's going on? How could this be? It's very, very perplexing. And the Ramban tells us that there's something very deep secret going on here. Ibn Ezra was sort of mechavin to it by sushtelling the pasuk of Seirim to this. But the Ramban explains. And Reb Tzadok, in a number of places, explains this Ramban. And he says, again, more or less, and these are Dvarim Shel Sod, but he says that there is a certain perspective on the world that is, that we have Bechira, and it's logical, and if we do what we do, then that's not Ratzon Hashem, because Hashem told us not to do it. And there's a certain perspective that's above that. It's Shaykh to the Olam of Atzilus. The Arizal says like this. The Arizal says in Sefer Arba Meo Shekel Kasef, B'makom yediya laka b'chira, and b'makom b'chira laka yediya. In the Olam HaSiyah, in the worlds that we are shayach to, from our perspective, there's b'chira, and the Meila Taka, there isn't yediya. And in that sense, if you choose to do that which is wrong, you're going k'neged ratzon Hashem. There's a certain perspective that's above that, in which there's not shayach anything that isn't ratzon Hashem, because everything is Ratzon Hashem. And that's B'makom Yediyah Laka Bechira. The Chet, so what is it? Well, first we do this. What does that have to do with the Seir Lazazel? So the first thing we have to understand is that Satan is not an opposing force to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's not like, that would be Avodah Zarah. That would be dualism. Satan is also a malach of Hashem. The Gemara Bava Basra says, Kasha tzar shel Satan yoser mishal yof. And Satan was mechavin l'shem shemayim. He's also a malach of Hashem. And his role is a particular role. But the yisod of the Seir Lazazel is to appreciate that he too plays a role. If we take a look at the Ramban in our Parsha, so he writes like this, Veina kavana b'si'ir ha-mishtaleach she'er karban mitanu elav chalila. Aval shetiya kavana senu lasos ratzon bor'enu shetivanu kach. V'amashol v'zeh k'mishas asuda la'adon v'tziva adon es ha'ish ha'osa asuda ten mane echad la'av diplomi. Shena ose seuda no sin klum leaved hahu. The lo lechvodo yasi imo. Raka kol nasan laadon, vadon nasan pras laavdo. Veshamar zeh mitzvaso baasa lechvod haadon kol asher tzivahu. Ve'amnam haadon lechem laso al bala suda ratza shiya kol avadav nenin mimena. She is saper b'shvacho, v'lo b'gnuso. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as it were, wants the Satan to also participate in this banquet. And so he sends him a mana, and that's the Seir HaMishtaleach. And that is also a bria of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that plays a role. And so even though, from our perspective, typically there's a stira. There's a stira. Satan is trying to get us to go against Ratzon Hashem. But ultimately, there's a certain deeper reality in which it is true that everything is Ratzon Hashem. Satan is also a malach. If we can tap into that reality, so it's Shayach Kapara on Yom Kippur. And that's our avoda on Yom Kippur. That's why Dafka, we include Satan in our avoda, Avodas Yom HaKippurim, because tshuva becomes possible when we realize that even our chataim were part of Ratzon Hashem, because everything is Ratzon Hashem. So what does that have to do with Acher? So Acher understood that idea incorrectly. He said, well, if everything is Ratzon Hashem, then I can do whatever I want. And that's also Ratzon Hashem. If it's Ratzon Hashem, I do a mitzvah. If it's Ratzon Hashem, I do an aveira. So then, why should I bother with the mitzvahs? And why was he wrong? Because though it is true that that perspective is correct, everything is ultimately Ratzon Hashem, however, we can only come to that reality after we've done tshuva. After we've done tshuva, we look back and we see that even the averos we did were part of Ratzon Hashem. And that's why Gdola, that if you have tshuva me'ava, zdonosav are nasim schuyos. Why schuyos? Why mitzvos? Because those averos were also part of the big plan, part of Ratzon Hashem, in this ultimate deeper reality. But again, a person can only come to that after he's realized and after he's done the hard work of tshuva. That's where he ultimately ends up. That's a big part if you take a look at Rav Cook's writings on tshuva. It's a lot about that. So that was Acher's mistake. And Acher couldn't sort of get out of that incorrect mindset. He didn't appreciate what tshuva is. It's only after tshuva that you could look back and say that, not before tshuva. So Memela, from the perspective that he was in, either that then tshuva didn't make sense. And therefore, that the Baas Kol reflected that. And like we're saying, that is a true perspective. It's not the ultimately true perspective. So that's why that was his mistake. requires more. But if you want to take a look at a couple of places where you could see this idea, one place I would look in Reb Tzadok, where I think it's most explicit, is in Tzidkas HaTzadik. Let me find the Mar Makom.
By the way, I just emailed you the Chassam Sefer.
Okay, thank you. So Tzidkas HaTzadik, let's see, there's one in Os Kuf Lamed, Os Kuf, but the Iker one that he talks about this is Mem Gimel. So take a look at those three Marmakomos. And again, he talks Mem Gimel, Kuf, and Kuf Lamed. Also, take a look at the Pre-Tzadik on Bamidbar, on Menachem Av. He has that as well. It really comes from the Ishbitzer, this idea. But again, it's coming from the Arizal, but it's developed by the Ishbitzer. It's in Reb Tzadok a lot. And if you want to see it in Rav Cook, so Rav Cook has it in a number of places, but I would say the Iker place to look that I think would be easiest. Also by Reb Tzadok and Divrei Sofrim, he has on it. But anyway, in Rav Kook, look at Orot HaTshuvah, Perek Tazayin, right at the beginning. And I'll just read you a little bit where you'll see this idea. So he says that Echad meyisodos shel tshuva b'machshavto shel adam hu hakaras ha'achrayos shel adam al ma'asev. The yisod of tshuva is taking achrayos, is taking responsibility. You were the one that messed up. But he says, skipping a little, b'acharei ha'yedia ha'behira, after you've taken achrayos, and it's clear, she'ha'she'ela al davar sheni, shnei hafachim b'nosei achad, hi rak tchuna yachasit lanu. After you've taken achrayos, after you've gone through the hard work of tshuva, then you could appreciate that this concept that, you know, what the philosophers called the law of opposites, that something can't exist and not exist at the same time, that is only from our perspective. And that's a tchuna of this world, but it's not the ultimate emes. L'gabei sechlein ha'mugbal, it's true. Adon kol achukim v'sibos kol asibos. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was the one who made up the rules. Mekor achach mavone atvuna. V'derech hu. So then you could go back and understand, once you have that ha'ara of tshuva, then you could see how taka, even the averus you did, was chliyos. Anam acharei ha'aras ha'tshuva miyad nimsarim l'mafreya kol ha Migraos shebechayav v'chol hamasim shelagabe erko shel adam einam tovim v'totso sehen hen maroslo l'rishus gavala. It's all a mitzvah, and that's the tremendous mila of tshuva me'ava. So, and that's again, it's that appreciation that is the yisod behind the avoda for this year Lazazo. Preaching that even Satan is a Malach Hashem.
Again, by us giving a korban to the seer, so to speak, it's really us giving a korban to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but and acknowledging that the seer, the Satan is
correct. Correct. But that's something that, like he's saying, it's only possible after that hakara is only possible after you've gone through the hard work of tshuva, of accepting Achrayas. And that's the pshat why the rest of the year this is Avodah Zarah. In other words, that perspective of everything being Ratzon Hashem is not something that we could live our lives with, generally speaking. It's shayach for one avoda of one day of the year, right? It's not. But that was that's what Rav Tzadok writes was the shoresh of the chait of Acher.
That's good.
And this idea is very dangerous. If you don't, like we said, correctly understand it, it could be used to justify anything. Because what difference does it make anything? Everything is Ratzon Hashem. Everything is Ratzon Hashem. Einod Movado, right? Lamashal, just to show another place, you know, where you see this. The Gemara in Sanhedrin and Hulin about Einod Movado. So it says over there that Rabbi Hanina didn't care about the witches. And the Gemara says, "What do you mean? Aren't they dangerous? Like they could hurt you. How are you so dismissive of them and their powers?" And he says, "I'm not worried about that. Eino Malvado, even Kshafin." So what's the pshat? Like, why does everybody else worried about them? And like we say, Kishuf, the lashon is because Mechashvin Pamalia Shamala. They kiilu are so HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Pamalia. They go against his plan. That's what Rashi says. Hashem plans for somebody to live, and they go against that, and they cause someone to die. So the Nefesh HaChaim explains, the Pshat Nakamara is that the Rabbi Hanina appreciated Edom Milvado, meaning to say even the kolchos in the world that seem to be machish pamali shemalai, that are machashvim, that are against it, are really all part of Kodesh Baruch Hu. Ultimately, where do the Kishuv people get their power from? It's also from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's nothing connected to him. But that perspective of Einod Milvado is a tremendous madrega. it's not something simple that you could just say, oh, Einon Milvado would sing the song and then not worry about the Mechashvim, right? The Gemara says that the other Chachamim, Taka, were on a Madrega where it was appropriate for them to take precautions. And that's what the famous school of it, Nafsh Chaim, says, that if a person really, really, really has internalized the truth of Einon Milvado, right, that even the seeming kolchos of Ra are ultimately from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then nobody could harm them. And nobody could harm them. But that's a tremendous madrega. It's not something that you could just say. Like Rav Kook said, that's a madrega that a true Baal Tshuva, someone who's Shav Me'ava, could reach. That's the avoda of Yom HaKippurim. But it's a tremendous madrega, because it's tapping into a reality that's well beyond our normal existence. In our world, b'makom b'chira laka yadia. In our world, in the world, in Olam Asiya, it's very, very different. We have b'chira and we have to do what's right. And when we do the wrong thing, we're taka going k'neged ratzon Hashem. All right.
I'm a little at odds over here, because I kind of want to leave this on this majestic high point, but I also have another question, if that's okay.
Go ahead.
In terms of the Maharal I quoted at the beginning of Shir, shouldn't there also be a reason? Meaning, Avraham Avinu's selection wasn't based on himself, but at the end of the day, why was he zoche? The Maharal spoke about Chosovs, but over the opposite. Why was Avraham Avinu Zoche to be the father of the nation?
The answer is twofold. Number one is there's no Shaila, like Chazal tell us, that Avraham Avinu was the greatest person ever to live. He independently discovered HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He was Moser Nafsho at Ur Kasdim. He brought the world to monotheism. He did tremendous things. But the Bechira goes beyond that. In other words, the Torah's silence on the topic reflects that this is something we can't understand. It's beyond us. So certainly it was true that Avraham Avinu, there was nobody more Ra'wi than him. He did something that nobody else had ever done. But if you really want to know what's the answer, you can't. Hashem omits the reason from the Torah because it's something that you can't understand. It's inscrutable. It's beyond our ability to understand. And precisely that's the reason why it's eternal and guaranteed and can never end. Because if it was dependent upon reason, it would be Toluian reason. And ultimately then, if the reason, Batal Hadavar, Batal Abba. This is Avash Eina Tluya V'Davar. Eina Tluya V'Davar means that it goes beyond reason, right?
In a sense, he was the person who it was most shayach to give him more zechias. Meaning, not necessarily that the reasons were commensurate, but that
we are meant to understand both things. Number one is we should certainly appreciate that Avraham Avinu was greater than we could imagine, greater than any person ever to live. And we should appreciate all of that godless. As Chazal teach us, all that was true well before Hashem ever spoke to Avraham Avinu. But we also have to appreciate that there's something about that Bechira that goes beyond whatever reasons it was. And we have to embrace the mystery. We have to appreciate that something we can't understand.
And so Chazal are,
are telling us one aspect, and the Torah Shabbos is emphasizing another aspect, and they're both true. And if you only see one, you only understand half the perspective. Your understanding is incomplete, and I would even say incorrect, if you only have one aspect. If you have one aspect, if you just see sort of the spousal relationship, so you'd come to the false conclusion that Hashem could divorce us if we are adulteries. And it could end. And that's false. If you only see the Banim aspect, you'll also perhaps think that, like, it doesn't matter what we do in a certain sense. They're both true, and you have to see both.
Okay. Thank you very much, Abby.
Okay.
Great. Thank you.
Yes, Ezra.
So to clarify on Ellie's question earlier, on Rosh Hashanah davening, it's true, we invoke, it could be interesting to understand, we invoke all these different, relationships that we have with Hashem, but I felt the lashon of im, im kibanim, im kavadim, implies that it's maybe we're banim now, but maybe we're not, maybe it's not true.
Right? No, I think it means we're invoking that schus. In other words, of course we're both. What do you mean im? Hashem says, banim atam lashem elkechem. It's not im. But is what's going to be our best defense, right? What's going to be the reason for Hashem? So it's not im kibanim, so then rachamenu kirachim aval banim. Maybe Hashem forgive us, spare us with a zechus of our being banim. And maybe that's not going to work. Like we said. It may be true that the din of Klal Yisrael and Rosh Hashanah, we will always live. But it doesn't necessarily, we've gone through very hard times. Klal Yisrael suffers tremendously. And Dafka, like we said, tremendously because of that Bechira. So then we try something else. We try a different argument. You're like the lawyer of the criminal, and you're going to whip out of your bag everything you can, anything that might work.
Okay, thank you.
All right. Shkayach, have a good Shabbos.
Thank you. Have a good Shabbos.
Have a great Shabbos. Thank you.